space exploration outfit run by the boss of Amazon.com has this week become the latest in a string of private companies to announce that it will build rockets and send them into orbit from Cape Canaveral in the US. Blue Origin joins other companies like SpaceX in taking up the mantle of space exploration. This is after NASA stopped flying space shuttles in 2011. As plans gather pace to put humans on these commercial space flights, the safety record of the infant industry is under intense scrutiny. Mike Lutomsky was risk manager for the International Space Station program at NASA before he resigned in 2013 to join SpaceX. He's currently in Australia and he's speaking now with James Carlton.
Mike Lutomsky, welcome to Australia and RN Breakfast.
Thank you, James. Good to be here.
May we begin at the beginning. Take us back 30 years ago nearly, that day you just started at NASA, nearly coinciding with that terrible Shuttle Challenger disaster, 1986, seven crew members dying on board. What do you remember from that time?
Well, it was this is so shocking because we were sort of lying to ourselves at NASA and to the public that human spaceflight was now routine, and we had this reusable space shuttle and it was going to be cheap and affordable. And we flew a civilian that trained at NASA for maybe 4 months. We had a teacher in space, and so not every child, but thousands of children around the world were watching and as she launched and. She was going to have lessons, you know, to teach from space. And of course, we know now, I think 73 seconds into that ascent phase of flight, and the shuttle broke apart. So it was a very tragic thing. So I think it was a big wake-up call and really set the tone of what is space flight. And it's still an experimental phase and a very, very high-risk endeavor. And we it's just amazing how we sort of can as humans, very intelligent adults and engineers, we can just sort of tell ourselves lies and believe our own lies if we repeat them enough.
Are they white lies? You said NASA was lying to itself that it was safe.
Well, that it was routine, and they misunderstood the risks, and they took more risks than they needed to.
Maliciously, in terms of a conspiracy, or because of the overwhelmed by the excitement of the, you know, journey into other worlds?
Well, that's more of a global question. I guess what I was talking about when I talked to this Safety Institute of Australia this week was, you know, they really were operating outside of their bounds, but there's a global issue that they thought it was becoming routine, and there's a lot of political pressure. And then that individual day had individual circumstances and context of just launching well outside the operational envelope. The temperatures had frozen well under freezing the night before, and there was a lot of concern that the now famous O-rings back then wouldn't perform, and the engineers all said so, and they got pressure from NASA to reverse their position, and unfortunately they did, and they launched, and we saw what happened.
And if that pressure is applied in publicly owned space exploration, when it's directed explicitly for the public good and for the advancement of science, if those corners are still cut even in those circumstances, what does the future hold in terms of profit-driven commercial space travel?
Yeah, and that's the question. We're on this new realm now where many companies are vying for space tourism, and other companies are vying for typical government work and commercial satellite work and those kind of things. I think that's the marketplace will eventually sort itself out, but it's a new industry in its infancy, and I think there's as we've seen, there's a lot of learning to go on yet there. And it's we always like to hearken back to the early aviation industry, which only, you know, partially, I think it's a sort of a partially valid analogy and also partially invalid, because you're talking about such higher risk than aviation. It's just so difficult to get a payload accelerated to, you know, 28,000 kilometers per hour to get something to stay into orbit. So the energy that you're talking about and the difficulty is certainly a lot more. But in a very broad way, it's like the early aviation where there's a large number of accidents and fatalities, and then they had to get over that.
Does that mean that international space travel will evolve in a similar way to aviation? That is, it will ultimately become as safe as it can be, but there'll be variants. There'll be some airlines which have a terrible reputation And in this case, there'll be some space travel companies that have a terrible reputation, and there'll be others which have a good one. And indeed, that will be, that safety will be a core marketing point. Like, drive a Volvo, they're safer than the secondhand car.
Yeah, partially. I mean, really, I think what will happen, if anything's not safe, they will be immediately punished, immediately, thrown from the marketplace and immediately go out of business.
But that's inevitable, though, isn't it? By accident, or by design, the mistakes will happen.
Absolutely. But, you know, that's why I say the aviation analogy sort of falls apart after a certain point. There's a public interest in moving people around the globe, and I think there's 300,000 or so, you know, or close to, I can't remember if it's military and commercial aviation, but flights that take off and land every day. So there's a public interest there where space travel, I think, is always going to be a realm of, you know, tourism or other settling other planets or things that don't necessarily have the government's, you know, interest to get the public involved as much.
So space,
I think,
is
regulated in a different, they'll be regulated in a different way because the public interest is different. For instance, the Federal Aviation Administration really is regulated to keep the public on the ground safe. They don't regulate the passengers that knowingly take high risk to go into these future space tourism businesses. So I think that's going to be, that sort of represents what I'm talking about with the public interest. So it'll be a little different that way. So that's why I think the marketplace will immediately punish the lower reliability, lower safety kind of companies.
And does that mean for the foreseeable future, this will remain a game for the super rich?
I think for the tourism, not the super rich. I think you see with the Virgin Galactic, now Blue Origin is in that field. I think they're trying to make it affordable and just start with, you know, just going up to 100 kilometers, which is, we sort of arbitrarily call the edge of space, and then coming back down. So I think that's just going to be the initial thing, and then we'll see where it goes from there. I think we have yet to see affordable space tourism. I think the only really official space tourists are when the Russians have sold seats to private, you know, millionaires from around the world and to different countries to take them into space for 10 days. So we have yet to have a sort of more of an entrepreneurial that was using an existing capability from a government, but we have yet to see the entrepreneurial companies even operate. So we'll see where this all goes.
Mike Latomsky, we will indeed. Thank you.
That's Mike Latomsky, former risk manager for the International Space Station program at NASA, these days director of system safety and risk at SpaceX, speaking with James Carlton. And Mike's in Australia at the moment as a guest at the Safety Institute of Australia's National Convention.